Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, November 7th, 2016. And this week I'm doing something special. I am interviewing authors that I am interested in and have some sort of tie to the Apple world. And I'm really excited that we're starting off the week with Ted Landau. How are you, Ted?
I am fine. Good to talk to you again.
It's great to get to talk with you. It feels like it's been far too long, and so I'm really excited you're here, and I'm really pleased that I get to start off the week with an interview with you. I think this is going to be awesome.
Great.
Yeah, but before we get into that, I have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Casper Mattresses. And I'm really pleased that they are sponsoring us because they're a company that makes the mattress that I've been using for a few years. And it's a mattress that has really improved my sleep patterns. And I'm a guy that has pretty bad sleep patterns. So I'm always on the hunt for something that can help me improve that. And my Casper mattress absolutely did that. I even took the time to log my sleep patterns before having the mattress and then after getting the mattress. And what I found is that I have numbers that show my Casper mattress does help me sleep better. What they did was they designed a mattress out of these different types of foam that they sandwiched together in just the right way so that you have the support you need, the flexibility that you need in the bed so that it doesn't feel like you're sleeping on a board or sinking into, like a giant rubber foam burrito thing. And the mattress doesn't get too hot in the summer. And it's comfortable. It's comfortable all year round. It's designed really well, and it's designed so that you don't have to pay a crazy fortune to get one. It's high quality, but at a low price. So, for an example, I have the queen size mattress. It's $850, and that's delivered right to your door. The reason that they can charge $850 instead of, say, well over $1,000 is because they do everything themselves. They have their own center where they keep all their product. And when you want something, they ship it to you. They don't have the overhead of dealing with retail stores. And so they're passing on that savings to us. I think that's an awesome thing. I love that they also have expanded out now. So they have sheets and pillows that they have designed with sleep in mind. And I've had a chance to see these products, and I was really surprised with the quality. So, you know, they've got it all for you, which is a fantastic thing. Even better, they are offering you, our listeners, a $50 discount. So what you need to do is go to the Casper website, and that's casper.com/TDO. And then when you go to that link, use the discount code TDO, and you're going to get $50 off your mattress. It's an awesome thing. It's going to be delivered right to your door, and once you get it, pop it out of the box. 5 minutes later, you can take a nap. I just love that. So that URL again is casper.com/TDO, and the discount code is TDO. Go pick up your Casper mattress right away, because even though we can't sleep together, we can at least sleep in the same bed. So thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor this week. So, Ted, the reason I wanted you here today as my first guest for my author interviews is because, and you may not even know this, when I got my first Mac years ago, I was upgrading from an Apple IIgs, and I got a Quadra 610 with the DOS-compatible card in it. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I needed to be able to really understand my computer, and if something went wrong, I was the only person I had that I could rely on to figure something out. So I did some research and I found the right book. The first Mac book I ever bought was Sad Mac's Bombs and Other Disasters.
Wow, fantastic.
Yes, and for listeners that may not know what that is, that's a book that Ted wrote many years ago, and it went through revisions as the Macintosh evolved, and it was like my Bible for my Mac. It sat beside my Mac all the time. Anytime I had a problem, I was able to find an answer right in your book. It's like you knew every single problem I was going to have. And so because of that, Sad Max Bombs and Other Disasters is a book that just has a little special place in my heart. And that's why I wanted you here today.
Well, thanks. It has a special place in my heart, too.
Well, I imagine, because when that was a big book, so you had to put a lot of work into that.
Yes, I did. And it grew over the course of editions. Like you said, there were four editions, and the first edition, I think, was 600 and some odd pages, and by the last edition, it had doubled to over 1,200 pages. So, yes, it became quite big.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that it was a good project for you. No, let me rephrase that. I hope you made money on that, because I know you helped so many people. You deserve to get something in return.
I did. I made. I mean, it wasn't enough like to change my life type of money, but it was a significant amount of money, and much more than I ever would have thought. And in fact, at one point, much to my surprise, I remember that it was the number one best-selling Macintosh book in the country, according to whatever company was tracking those things at the time. So, which I never thought would happen. So, yeah, it was really good. Definitely.
That's really cool. I kind of wish you were still doing that, but I totally get why you're not, because you deserve to have a life.
That, yes, things changed. I moved on, but also sadly, I think, in a way, or maybe not sadly, but in any case, the opportunity to make money writing any sort of computer book and certainly Apple Macintosh related books has declined significantly over the years as a result, as has happened in so many other areas, as a result of the disruption by the internet. The sort of troubleshooting help type of book that I wrote back then would never do as well now, because most people would just go onto Google and search for whatever problem they were having and get the answer more up to date than a book could ever hope to be. It took me sometimes over a year to update an edition to the book. By the time I would be done with an edition to the book, a new version of the operating system would be out. It would just be hopeless. So, and I think other authors are finding similar things. It's really rough, tough to try to make money in the computer book world right now.
It really is. And you're right. Google has become such a powerful tool for troubleshooting that it's really hard for books to compete with that.
Yeah. I happened to be in the right place at the right time when I wrote that book, and it worked out very well.
I agree completely. Another place where you were in the right place at the right time was when you started up your website, MacFixit.
Yeah, again, I almost tripped over that. The MacFixit website was actually started as an outgrowth of the book for the very reason we were talking about. The internet was just, and the World Wide Web in particular, was just coming into its own, and I was looking for a way to keep readers of my book informed of the latest updates in between editions, with a year to year and a half between editions of the book. A lot had happened, and I said, okay, here's something new. It's not going to be in my book for another 9, 10, 11 months because of the lag time, but I'd still like readers to know about it. And so I started posting updates on, back then, if you remember, things like CompuServe and America Online.
Yes.
And it wasn't very good to do it that way. Even that was a process that required that I wait a month or two from when I submitted something before CompuServe would actually post it on their site. And then I discovered that this World Wide Web was coming into existence, and I could create my own website and update it as often as I wanted, as many times a day as I wanted. It would all be posted instantly. And I said, well, this looks like the way to go. I'm going to give it a try. And so I did, and I started it, as I said, in fact, it wasn't even called MacFixit originally. It was called the Sad Max, after the name of the book, the Sad Max Update Site. And what happened was that I discovered over time that people who didn't even own the book were going there just to get the updated information. And so I said, maybe I don't need to tie to the book. Maybe people will just come here for the information, and that will be better than trying to serve just an audience that owns my book. And so I changed the name to MacFixit, broadened the scope a bit, and that's how that got started.
And then, then you ended up writing for a lot of publications.
Yes, I was actually writing for publications to a large extent even before I wrote Sad Max. I had written for Magazine was the first.
I forgot about Magazine.
Publication I wrote for, and then Mac User, and then when Mac User merged with Macworld, I started writing for Macworld. So, and those are the three primary places I've written over the years. Macworld probably the longest, up until the very end. I was writing for Macworld up until the point that I retired back in 2014.
You know, when you retired, I was both sad and happy. I was sad because you have been such an incredible resource over the years in the Apple community. And and honestly, I mean, there were many times when I was completely stumped and really needed to find an answer for something. And I'd hit the index of Sad Max Bombs and Other Disasters, and you had the answer for me. And then seeing what you've written over the years, you know, it was just sad to know that you weren't going to be contributing to the Apple community in that way anymore. But then on the other hand, I was really happy because you spent so many years essentially slaving over all of this to bring all this really useful information to people, and you were finally getting to kick back and live your life.
Yeah, it certainly made my wife happy in that regard. She used to refer to herself as a book widow, especially when I was doing Mac Fix and writing books at the same time. So, yes, there is that aspect to it. And I should point out, actually, it's talking to you, that one of the other things that I wrote for was your website, Mac Observer.
Yes.
And I credit Mac Observer with giving me the platform for the first time, really, to write something other than how to fix it type stuff. It was an opportunity for me to write more editorial opinionated stuff, and I really thoroughly enjoyed that, and I look back fondly on my years of writing for Mac Observer.
Well, we definitely loved having you write for us, and I loved that we were broad-minded enough to realize that we didn't have to pigeonhole you into one type of writing. And I thought it was great that in addition to all of the how to fix it help articles you had written over the years, you had a platform where you could express yourself however you wanted.
Yeah, and that's what I did, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was really cool. Another reason why I was sad you retired. But like I said, I'm also really happy because now you get to do whatever it is you want. And since we haven't had a chance to talk for a while, I'm curious, what are you interested in now?
An interesting question. I'm still working on it. It's a work in progress. I actually continue doing a lot of the things I used to do. I just don't write the articles as much. You know, I still maintain my personal blog called Slanted Viewpoint, which I said I would continue to write for even in my retirement. I define my retirement as not writing for money anymore, though I suppose I could write any place I wanted to for free, but that wasn't what I had in mind either. So my personal blog, I said I would continue to do. As it turns out, I'm not doing that even as often as I thought. It becomes very easy to get lazy or whatever the word is, and just, you know, some days I wake up and I say, I have a great idea for an article. I should write that. And then 3 or 4 days later, it doesn't get written, and I just say, oh, the heck with it. You know, that sort of thing does happen. And so I'm not doing that as often, but I still spend a good portion of my day, as I did already this morning, going over all the Mac news, following my Twitter feed, reading various articles as to what's happening, you know, reading about all the new MacBook Pros, and the arguments and pros and cons to which direction Apple is headed. And I even, in this case, wrote an article just the other day about my own thoughts on that matter. So that still takes up a good portion of my day just for fun. I also, a number of retirement-related activities. I'm volunteering in various ways, including, interestingly enough, volunteering in our local school system doing writing coaches, serving as a writing coach. Yeah, so I'm helping high school students in their writing. They have a formal program there, and I'm a part of that. And I've upped my physical activity a lot. Even at my advanced age, I'm probably in better physical shape than I've ever been, doing a lot of exercising and hiking and so on. And so that keeps me busy, too.
That's cool. And I didn't know that you were doing volunteer work to help the next generation of writers.
So, well, I don't know how many of them will be in the next generation of writers. Some of them, I think, will be just happy to get through English class with a good grade. But yes, it has been fun.
So now I'm actually wrapping my head around this and visualizing all of these people that don't realize or appreciate the resource that you are, and they're just thinking, oh, great, I'm gonna pull a C. I'm finally gonna pull a C, or bring that C up to an A, whatever. And they just don't realize what resource they have sitting beside them.
Yeah, and that's fine. It works out pretty well, actually. It's actually been surprising. I thought initially one of my hesitations about doing it was that it would be met with resistance, that I'd be dealing mm-hmm. with students that didn't want my, you know, well, who am I? I'm some old guy that walks in from off the street and is going to supposedly help them write and the last thing they want to do. But most of the students, almost every one of them, in fact, have been very receptive, have been friendly. We've gotten along well. They seem to appreciate the time we spend together, and it's been a rewarding experience.
That's awesome. And you are continuing to do what you've done for years and years and years, which is help people and provide an education of sorts.
Yeah. It's an interesting way of putting it. I hadn't thought about it. Yes.
So that's really cool. We are getting close to out of time, but I wanted to ask you, I know you're in retirement, but do you ever get the urge to write a new book?
Well, absolutely not. No, I sometimes get the urge to write articles again for a site like Mac Observer. That would, you know, that I occasionally get the twinge of that. The idea of writing a book, like I said, the stress of it would be even 10 times worse than it was then, because I'd be under incredible stress to do it in a much shorter time, because the window for when the information is current is much less. And there's much more competition than there was now. You know, when I started writing that book, you know, the number of people writing books on that subject was relatively small compared to what seems like thousands now. When you look at the web and see articles and books anyway, that, you know, there were probably, when I started McFixit, there was like maybe a dozen websites that were like that or anything close to that. Now there are probably hundreds. And the financial rewards, unless you put together a huge sort of website similar to Mac Observer, which would be hard to start on your own at this point, the financial rewards of just writing for a website are probably far less. So more work, more stress, less financial reward. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. And yeah, I have noticed that the money in this market is not what it used to be. And it does make things a lot harder, because writing a book is a serious labor of love, and you should get some sort of compensation for that. But the guarantee that you will get any sort of real payback is much lower than it used to be.
Yeah, and I think also the focus is gone. I mean, I remember years ago, and you probably remember too, where books seemed to be the central focus of the computer world in terms of written information. You know, books like the Max for Dummies and This for Dummies and other series, and David Pogue's Hidden Manual series or whatever.
The Missing Manual.
Missing Manual series, yes. All those things were what the chatter was about when you were talking about stuff. And now, I rarely hear anybody talking about books anymore. It's all on the web now. That's where the action is, not in books.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's a different time, and things happen much faster, and people go to Google, where before they would go to their bookshelf.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I was able to get into all of this when going to the bookshelf was a thing, so that I could have that experience and get to find books like yours. that was a fun time. It felt like we were on the bleeding edge, like we were in the Wild West of computer technology.
Yes, and it was a small community, and everybody seemed to know each other, all the websites and book authors, and we would meet from time to time at Macworld Expo, and it was definitely fun. All that's changed now.
It has, and I'm sad to see the old days go, but, you know, there's new types of conferences that are happening now, and we have tools like Skype and Slack and Twitter where we can stay in communication in ways that we couldn't before.
Indeed, we're talking on Skype right now.
Yes, we are. And hey, we're out of time. As much as it pains me to say that, we are out of time. Ted, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join me.
It was my pleasure. Glad I could do it.
It was a lot of fun. Casper, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Get $50 off your mattress. It's going to be shipped right to your door. It's a beautiful thing. Listeners, thank you for joining me today. And I hope you enjoy the interviews that I do through the rest of the week, too. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.